This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Obtaining one is easy. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Fit Nation. Fit Nation.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their story to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with Ms. Fit Nation. If you're a musician or actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share some of your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you're a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and share how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and just share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or are embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast apps and also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date with our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Misfit Nation. We're back live here in Clarksville, Tennessee. The shoveling's done. The snow is almost gone. But schools are still closed tomorrow because, well, it's Clarksville, Tennessee. And you can't drive when there's a little bit of snow. So we'll be back at it. Kids will go back to school Thursday, and it's supposed to snow Thursday, so they'll probably be off the rest of the week. On the show right now, our thoughts are with the families, the two Navy SEALs that are missing after trying to do an interdiction mission off the coast of Africa. One fell off, the other one dove in to try to save him. Both been missing since last Thursday. So let's keep them in our thoughts and prayers and try to get them home, or at least get closure to those families. Our guest tonight is the noisy, bossy, compelling Fitz Kohler of fitness.com, the author of multiple books, including My Noisy Cancer Comeback, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong, and Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal. He's a busy keynote speaker and a fitness expert with a master's degree in exercise and sports sciences. She's also one of America's most prominent race announcers, hosting some of the largest and most iconic running events, including the Los Angeles Marathon, Big Sur Marathon, the Buffalo Marathon, the DC Superhero Series, and more. Her company, Fitness International, has a global reach, and she's conquered every avenue of mass media to help people live better and longer. So without further ado, let's welcome Fitz Kohler to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Fitz.
Thanks for having me, Rich. And I would love to start by saying thank you to all of your listeners who are active military veterans or first responders. Freedom is my absolute favorite thing. I am a raging patriot, and my favorite people are those who preserve all of this for us. So thank you.
Awesome. No problem. Thank you for taking some of your time tonight to hang out with us. I know you could be doing other things, like maybe announce a little indoor race somewhere, because it's probably cool where you are, but it's probably better to do indoor right now instead of freezing up. But thank you for being here.
Of course.
I just gave your little blurb about you there. I know you have a much deeper story than that blurb I just did. So if you don't mind, go back as far as you want. Tell us more about Fitz.
Native Floridian, and I have been teaching fitness since I was about 14. Fell in love with it then. I loved what fitness did for me. I loved what it did for other people. I wasn't convinced it would become my career until I figured out a way to do it in a way that paid my bills. I knew I wanted a house and a car and to take my kids on vacation sometimes, and working in a gym didn't seem like that would be possible if that was my route. So I decided to pursue a career in mass media. So I teach fitness via TV, radio, books, magazines. I do online presentations. I do a ton of keynote presentations, and I spend my days helping people live better and longer. I almost had my life cut short a few years ago when I found a nasty little lump in my boob 7 weeks after a clean mammogram. When I had it looked into that week, we found out that not only that little lump was cancer, but it had already spread to my lymph nodes. It was running through me like wildfire. And I had to be treated urgently and aggressively. And I was. I ended up with about 15 months of chemo, 33 rounds of radiation, some surgery, and I'm very grateful to be cancer-free. So that's good news for me. But along the way, I made some really great decisions, shrewd decisions that benefited me immensely. And I've decided to spend the rest of my days working to support other people going through difficult times with good decisions and healthy habits.
That's awesome. And a journey that a lot of people don't make it out of. So I'm glad that you did make it out, especially with many rounds of chemo and radiation, and to be smiling now and be on the show and still doing fitness and still helping people to gain the success in their life and their journey for fitness and for a better life as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what, with perspective, I mean, it just makes everything easier. So when I was diagnosed, I was definitely terrified. I was definitely sad. I was definitely stressed. I wasn't a robot about it. I mean, it definitely impacted me in a very intense way, but instead of having a pity party and instead of asking why me, and I never once did that, I thought, well, a few miles down the road from my house, there's a pediatric oncology unit at the University of Florida, UF Health Hospital. And I thought, well, I'm so lucky not to be a baby with cancer. And I'm so lucky that it's not my baby with cancer. And because of those things, you know, I'm a grown-up with cancer, and I'm going to put on my big girl panties and I'm going to figure it out. So it was hard, but having the right attitude and pursuing my passions and just, you know, every day was an opportunity to make a good decision or a bad decision, or a whole bunch of good decisions or a whole bunch of bad decisions. And I erred on the side of making my life easier and making good decisions.
And it obviously has paid off for you and your motivation for others to do the same thing. So it's a really good testament to your mindset when you went in through this.
Yeah, we, you know what, no matter what's going on in our life, we have certain things we can control. And I heavily advise people to control what you can. It will make all the difference in the world.
Well, I tell people, if you're riding the boat, ride the waves. If you're sailing that boat, then you ride the waves the right way. So you control what you can control. Otherwise, just along the ride. And I think it's along the same thing you're saying there.
Yeah. And then trying to control the uncontrollable just make you insane. It's just foolish. Yes. And make you miserable. So I think that's an element of genius as well.
Definitely. And that's what people pulling their hair out, because they can't control something. It's out of their way, out of their control. And that drives them to do other bad decisions in life. And it does end up well most times.
Right.
So you could have, like some people I know, to get this news and they just get that. It's like punched in the stomach. The wind comes out of them and they don't do that motivated way you did to let's fight this and let's go in. How did you slow down and maybe stop the physical decline of yourself with all that treatment to stay ahead of it?
Well, you know what, the reality was, is there was a lot of physical decline. I did as many of the right things as I could. In fact, partially through my treatment, when I went in for round number 6 of the mean chemo. So I had 6 rounds of apparently what is the most toxic combination of chemo they give anybody, followed by 15 rounds of a lesser yet still mean type of chemo. So when I was in the worst of the worst, I showed up for chemo one morning, and the routine is when you're having chemo is you got to visit your oncologist. He has a little conversation with you. They draw some blood. And if everything looks good enough, they'll allow you to go in for your treatment. So I see Dr. Gordon, my oncologist, and he says, Fitz, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so well. Now, I am a catastrophe at this point. I am as bald and gray and sick. My fingernails have ripped off. My eyes have changed colors. Everything that could go wrong with me was. I had been violently ill every day for the past 5 months. I mean, it was bad. And I said, Dr. Gordon, I am not doing well. Why are you saying that? He said, no, Fitz, you're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. And I just said, why are you saying that? Are you not looking at me? He said, Fitz, I'm not suggesting you haven't suffered. You have suffered immensely. He said, however, if you were not so committed to exercise and nutrition coming into this nightmare, you would have been hospitalized more than just once. So I had one night in the hospital for blood transfers, which is gross. But he said, you would have been hospitalized for a month. I've given you the meanest concoction of chemo I give anybody. Anyone else in your situation probably would have been hospitalized for many days, possibly would have had a feeding tube, which likely would have led to infection. He said, instead of that, you haven't had any of those weeks in the hospital. Instead, you've traveled the country, announcing your races, doing your keynotes. You've been on flight after flight, and you've had more adventure than most healthy people do in a lifetime. So I'm not suggesting you haven't suffered. However, you've done really well despite this nightmare. And that's when, you know, I've spent my whole life telling people that exercise and nutrition really works. And that was a aha moment where I thought, oh my gosh, I guess it is paying off. I mean, I didn't really see all that, but now that he brings it to light, I didn't know I was doing so well. So yeah, you take some little lessons along the way, right?
Definitely. And you obviously were taking those lessons, but you were also taking your fitness mentality and moving forward. I had to continue to perform and get out there and announce this race or do this speech, despite what you were going through. So that shows that your mindset was already set that I'm going to keep pushing forward no matter what's thrown at me. I'm going to do this.
Well, so I want other people to be on the hunt for the win, hunt for wins. So, you know, when you're sick, when you're injured, whatever's gone on in your life, and really nobody gets out of this life unscathed. We're all going to face something. I had loss after loss with cancer. Cancer was taking my hair. It was taking my digestive system. It was taking all of it. I was constantly losing, constantly feeling bad. I probably had to fill out a form. They kept asking me if I had a DNR. And I would think, stop asking me that. Like, of course, resuscitate me. I don't know what's going to take me out. But if I go down, resuscitate me. Why do you keep asking? But a dozen requests for a DNR? I know, it's a pretty pretty ridiculous. So I needed those wins. And so my wins for me were getting up to go watch my kids in a show or watching my daughter cheer or my son at a track meet. That was a win. Anytime I did something positive, I put a check mark in the win category. When I got on a, even though the travel across the country feeling like I did was brutal, right? But right. When I stepped on those stages, whether it was a keynote or a race, every single thing that was wrong with me disappeared. I wasn't sick. I wasn't tired. I wasn't suffering. I had that. It was like jet fuel running through me, thanks to these incredible events and these wonderful people. And I got to be full force Fitz Kohler again for as long as I had an athlete on the course or a word in my mouth to deliver with these people. And so the lesson there for the rest of y'all is to figure out what fuels you and go to that, even in the worst situations. It's funny, people are like, well, I'm going to play my guitar because it's a great day, or I'm going to, I don't know, watch soccer. Okay, that's good stuff when you're feeling good. But when you're feeling bad, when you're hurt, when you're ailing, that's when you need your guitar. That's when you need soccer. If you can't play soccer, read a book about soccer or watch it on TV or watch it on TikTok. I don't care. There's a way to immerse yourself in your passions to lift your spirits, to get you focus on something positive in your life. And I think, you know, when the house burns down or you get a divorce, people start letting go of all the good things in their life. And when something super crappy happens, you need to arm yourself. You know, you want to go to battle with all the weapons you have. And believe it or not, your guitar and your love of soccer or art or whatever it is are your weapons.
Definitely. And finding that passion, and like you said, being able to have that, even when you can't physically do it, will help you get through those dark times and those days when you just really don't want to get out of bed because something's knocking you down. You stream soccer, I think, 24/7 now. It's on in every country, and it comes to America via every medium right now. Before my daughter played soccer, I had no idea what soccer really was. I knew our football, and then she started playing, so I had to learn on the fly. So that's how I learned, just watching videos and then coaching her because I had no idea.
Yeah, it's important for you to just figure that out. And I know a lot of your audience are veterans and, you know, perhaps PTSD or other mental stress disorders. And you gotta make those choices. And what I find is cancer is a very lonely experience, even though I had a whole world full of people that really cared about me and did their best to support me. I had to take 100% of those needles. I had to take all the zaps at radiation, all the treatment had to run through my veins, and it was scary and it hurt and it was hard. And I can imagine coming home from war makes you feel alone and scared and stressed. And, you know, you're not alone, but you have to be your greatest advocate. And so for me, it was that voice in my head, even when I was doing something that was scary, which was constant. I mean, I was constantly scared of everything in front of me. But the girl in my head, thankfully, she would say, "You've got this. You can do hard things. You've built a global business. You've raised two great kids. You used to kickbox competitively. You can do hard things." So hopefully the voices in your head aren't putting you down saying you're no good, you're overweight or whatever it is. Hopefully that voice in your head is saying, "You've got this. You've been through worse. Just keep going."
Definitely. And after your last treatment, from that time to until you got back to what is now your normal fitness level now, how long was that?
It took quite a while. In fact, I'm still 7 pounds lighter than I was before I started treatment. So I lost a lot of weight during treatment, and I was very excited to put weight back on, but I wanted to put on muscles. I'm a big fan of muscles, so I feel pretty good. But it was about 15 months of treatment, I would say. Ironically, it was about 15 months after I finished chemo that, or all my treatment, which my last thing was chemo, that I ran the Boston Marathon.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty neat. And I still wasn't back to full force. I feel like I'm mostly there. I'm a little dinged up. You know, I have issues from surgery and radiation that just, you know, they're annoying. I'm dinged, but I think about double your time of treatment. That would probably be my guesstimate. If you have a year and a half treatment, give yourself at least a year and a half to rebuild to some sense of normalcy and real vibrancy.
And you did the Boston Marathon at the end. So that's awesome right there. Listening, the Boston Marathon is no small feat, lots of hills, lots of people, and lots of fun from what I've heard. I've done others, but not that one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? After cancer, nothing scary. Nothing scary anymore. I was invited to run Boston. I was like, yeah, I guess so. Why not? So it was a fun day. It was way more fun than chemo.
If I have to, I'll do it right.
That's right.
What's your favorite race that you've announced and why?
Oy, you know, that's like choosing your children. I've got a few I'll spit out real quickly. I love the Big Sur International Marathon. It's in Monterey, California. It's breathtaking views, a very posh environment with a board of directors that is a true family. Buffalo Marathon is the most patriotic race in America. And it's a kind of a big city / small town feel. It's perfection. We've got kids and babies and all sorts of people from all over the world running. OC Marathon in California is a raging beach party. Gasparilla in Tampa, Florida is a raging pirate party. And the Donna National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer is pink perfection. We have hundreds of breast cancer survivors and patients come out, and it's a total love fest. So I've got a bunch that I love.
And what's the moment that you love announcing when someone's finishing? I know you get to announce certain names when they come across. Is there a certain type of person coming across? Maybe someone did back cancel that's coming across, and you get pumped up to yell at them, cheer them on for that last 100 meters?
Yeah, so technology allows me usually to welcome almost all of our athletes by name, which is pretty cool. My favorites, even though I will give a champion their champions due, you know, sometimes it's the Africans coming in, winning a big prize purse at the LA Marathon. But my favorite overall are the back of the pack. I think that's when the race starts getting good. If it's a marathon, let's get to the 5-hour mark. And then we start seeing lives change as people cross that finish line. So yeah, I'm definitely preferential to those. And then of course the strugglers, the runners with zero legs, or the Team Hoyt or Ainsley's Angels, the folks that are running to support others. And definitely my firemen in uniform and my military in uniform. And I am unabashed fawning all over those men and women for sure.
Outstanding. I did the Marine Corps Marathon in 16, and I was running two buddies, and they ran out of cup at the water station. So we were carrying a gallon of water that we took from one of the water stations and passing it back and forth to drink water as we're coming through Crystal City into the Pentagon. We come to the final hill because you run uphill to finish there. And those two left me. I seen my wife, so I ran over to give her a hug. I gave her a hug, and as soon as I did that, my body cramped. But my two buddies left me. So I'm there trying to fight through this cramp, and one of the Team Hoyt guys came and had me hold onto the wheel, onto the thing, and pushed me in. I said, man, this is horrible. Thank you so much. And he got me through. So when you said that, it's a good memory.
Yeah. You know what? The running community is the best of society. Like, if everybody in the world could be a part of us, then we would probably not have wars and hate and stuff. It's just wonderful people doing great stuff for great causes, their own health, their communities. It's, and that type of generosity where people sacrifice their own race, their own time to help other people through is magic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And just like you said, on the course, you see every mile you can see someone talking to someone might be going, feeling down or looking like they're hurting. You try to talk them up as much as possible.
Yeah.
This year, my wife did the Marine Corps, and she wound up with a bend, who's bent to the side from muscle fatigue and stuff. And it was a police officer that helped her, a young police officer, Officer Haley. She stopped, sat with her, talked to her for a while. This is at mile 17. And then I found her there, uh-huh. And I ran with her. I wasn't wearing any running clothes. I was just her athletic supporter this year. So I'm running alongside her for the next 3 miles with nothing on that I'm supposed to be wearing to run. And I said, you know what? You should probably finish this by yourself. I'm finding my way to the finish line and reach there. And that's what we did.
It's outstanding. What a wonderful couple you two are.
We try. We're good outside. Inside is, you know, we're all coupled inside. So 30 years of doing it, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, of course, now you're an author too. So fitness, cancer survivor, and now an author. Tell us about your journey to becoming an author and the whole cancer comeback series.
Yeah. So the first book is my noisy cancer comeback. It's this one. This one's the memoir, and it goes basically from like the day of diagnosis to the last day of treatment. And I wrote this one because, I mean, a couple things. For starters, I found that nobody really talks about what it's actually like to go through cancer care. We talk about, baldness and sickness and fatigue. Okay. Those are commonalities, and I had all of those things. But then it got weird. It got real weird and strange and Twilight Zone every single day, and nobody was talking about it. So when my fingernails started ripping off because my nails were so weak from treatment, I was clueless. I thought, what's going on? In fact, some of my nails actually rotted out on my hands, and they smelled disgusting. It was god-awful. There was nothing I can do because they were on my hands. So that was pretty gnarly. My eyes changed colors. That was a big kick in the crotch. I had no idea what was going on. I was out of town. I was actually at the Big Sur International Marathon, and it was the morning before the big race. It was a 3K, I think, or in a 5K, and I wake up in the morning and I jump in the shower, and it's, I don't know, 5 a.m. and I just towel off my bald head, which is really quick and easy. And I take my very first look in the mirror, and my eyes were pale gray. That my whole life I've had these pale gray blue eyes, but mostly gray. And people would say, are you wearing contacts? Your eyes are gray. That's weird. So I look in the mirror, and they're navy blue saucers, just boom, wow. Like saucers. And it was so weird. And I thought, that's crazy. What's going on? And, you know, if I called home, there was a 3-hour difference. What was anyone from home going to do about my new eye color? And then I thought, well, maybe I should call 911. This is weird, right? And then I thought, well, if I call someone and say, help, my eyes have changed colors, they're just going to send that like a straight jacket. You know, I'm going to get some crazy people. So I thought, just nuts. So I thought, okay, well, I can see. So I'm just going to get on with it. And there's 5,000 people waiting for me. So I got to get going. Maybe I'm seeing things. Maybe my eyes have not changed colors. So I get ready, and then my race announcing partner, Rudy, comes and knocks on my hotel door to get me. And the second I open the door, he goes, what the hell happened to your eyes? And I was like, I know, it's so weird. So there was constantly bizarre, freaky stuff like that that no one was talking about. And then there was stuff that I just thought was funny, you know, and I think when you're in this chaotic situation, you have to laugh or else. And then I had really made some good decisions along the way. And I thought, okay, I can help people do better and be better in this realm as well. And so that's this book. This book's a lot of mental fortitude, a lot of stories, a lot of funny, wacky, weird stuff. It's a collision of cancer and 30 air trips, air travel and strangers and cancer running. And then, so that's that book. And then this book, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong. This one was born about halfway through my treatment. I had lost a ton of weight, and it was about the time where my mom said, you need to eat. You look like you were in the Holocaust. And I said, thanks, Mom. Thanks. You know, and I was a little blonde skeleton. Or bald skeleton. And I thought, well, I'm doing my best, right? So I had finished surgery and I'd done rehab, and my doctor had said I was free to go back to the gym and lift weights as normal. So I went into the gym enthusiastically, and I sat down on a machine and I poked the pin in where it used to be, and I pushed, and nothing happened. There was no movement at all. I thought, dang it. I dropped the pin, pushed again, nothing happened. What I found is that not only did I look like a little skeleton, I had lost 80% of my strength, which is a colossal amount to lose. And so as I'm sitting there on this machine, kind of absorbing the gravity of what's gone on with my body, I thought, well, I know exactly how I'm going to rebuild it. I'm a fitness expert. Look at me. I have no doubt that I'm going to get myself from point A all the way back to point B, feeling vibrant and athletic. But at that same time where I was feeling so confident with my perfect plan to recovery, which I executed beautifully, at the same time, I started thinking about my peers, you know, the millions of other cancer patients in this world who have been brutalized, devastated by their treatment and their disease, and they have no idea how to get back to normal. Right. I mean, that moment where I figured out I lost 80%, that was the point where I was supposed to burst into tears, run out of the gym, get in my car and go home and cry and give up. And I didn't, because I have all this stuff in my head. But, you know, thinking about these, all of these other people, I mean, cancer is hard. I mean, imagine having your stomach bug, like you get the flu. Imagine having the flu for 200 days.
Wow.
It's devastating. You can't eat what you want to eat. This is not everybody, but it's a lot of people. Sometimes people are just burned and blistered and ravaged, and they have no idea how to get back to any sort of normalcy. So using my experience and my fitness expertise, I put it in here. This is a guidebook, and endless studies prove that we can weaponize exercise and nutrition to help increase our chances of remission and decrease our chances of recovery, or I'm sorry, of recurrence. So this book guides people how to pursue exercise, nutrition during chemo, radiation, surgery, amputations, It's got tons of photos. It even has photos on how to exercise in a chair, strength training, stretching exercises, that you can do in bed. Tons of exercises you can do in bed. So it's not about being who you were before cancer yet. It's about doing what you can when you can. And this is a guidebook for that. It goes into complementary care, acupuncture, massage therapy, sexual health counseling, you name it. And then there's a full color fun journal with all sorts of great prompts. And the prompts will guide you from sick to strong. It's a place to put in your diagnosis, your treatment plan, your hydration, exercise, nutrition for the day. But it also has a ton of fun prompts like, have you nicknamed your tumor? And, you know, what celebrity do you look like bald? And for me, I got a lot of weird answers, but my number one celebrity that I was most frequently compared to was Crazy Britney Spears. All the time, people go, you look just like Crazy Britney Spears. And I never wore a wig. I was like, oh, thanks, you know, what am I? Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. But yeah, and it's all full color. There's no ribbons. There's nothing sad. There's nothing pitiful in there. It's just, you know, the truth with some humor and a whole bunch of uplifting messages to help people through it and past it.
That's outstanding. Yeah. I asked a question in the chat. If anyone had any questions for you, I think they're all just dumbfounded with your journey. Mm-hmm. One said, I have no questions. This is just an amazing journey. This is awesome.
That's so nice.
And I think it's been echoed through a bunch of them. So that's what the chat's doing right now. So you're touching the hearts of people, the heartless friends that are in there. So it's great. And where can they get your book or just get with maybe the fitness plan?
Yeah. So fitness.com is my home base for everything. And there's a ton of free content up there. Exact formula for weight loss, tons of free workout videos, articles. There's all sorts of opportunities for you to learn something to help you become more fit today. My books are available wherever books are sold. However, they're all available at fitness.com. And what I find is I certainly do get cancer patients reaching out to say, hey, I need these books, but usually they're purchased as gifts. Most people come on, get the cancer comeback three pack and they ship it off and they say, you know, my dad has liver cancer or my mom has ovarian cancer. And you know, when someone we love is diagnosed, we really want to do something. And quite often we don't really know a legit way to help. These books are a legit way to help. So if you order them through me, I sign 100% of the books that leave my office. They all come with a fun free gift. And then I wrap them beautifully so my readers feel special.
That's outstanding. So go to fitness.com and get all the books, get some fitness tips, and just connect with Fitz. Fitz, before you go, give the audience three tips to make their physical life a little better.
All right. So number one, prepare your body to do battle today because you never know when illness or injury will strike. And it's so much easier to recover and rebound if you are healthy and fit going into any sort of crisis versus weak or sickly going into your crisis. So prepare yourself now, prioritize health now. Don't wait till someone says you have cancer to think, gee whiz, I would love to be healthy. Exercise. It can come in very small increments and make a very big difference. When you exercise, pursue strength, cardio, flexibility, and balance. All four pillars of fitness are necessary to qualify as fit. So strength, cardio, flexibility, balance. Do a little bit of each, and it goes a long way. When it comes to nutrition, choose foods that help versus foods that hurt more often than not. And we all learned about the foods that help in kindergarten. I think everybody knows the difference. You stay with produce and lean proteins and lean dairy and whole grains. And then you steer clear of the processed foods and fry foods and sugary hoopla. So I know your listeners are very smart. And thank you. Hi, Stephen. Thank you for the sweet comments. I love you guys. And truly, I know you have a big, thanks, Jake, a big military and first responder audience. I'm a raging fan. In fact, fan is an understatement. So what a Huh?
A little fanatic, I said.
Yes, yes, very much.
Well, Fitz, this has been great. Very quick half hours. It was awesome. Your story is amazing, and what you're doing is amazing. Keep on doing you, just like the chat said. Keep staying strong, keep being amazing, and keep helping others to find their way. So thanks again for being on tonight.
Will do. Thanks, Rich. Bye, everybody.
Have a good night.
In October 2019, Arlington, Texas was chosen to be the home of a new national museum, unlike any other. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a unique home of military history. The 100,000 square foot museum will house exhibits, archives, and artifacts relating to the 3,500 U.S. troops who have been awarded the medal, the nation's highest honor for valor in combat. The museum will have 31,000 square feet of galleries dedicated to U.S. troops who have received the award. The museum CEO, former Navy SEAL and NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy, said the museum will focus on education as much as preservation. The building will have five areas dedicated to Medal of Honor winners from the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. The main gallery will be located in a central plaza under a 25,000 square foot slab of steel, which will appear to be suspended in midair. It will be supported by five pillars. Black Rifle Coffee is a corporate sponsor of the museum, as are the Dallas Cowboys. The museum's board also includes over a dozen major corporations and six Medal of Honor recipients, including David Bellavia, Patrick Brady, and Britt Slabinski. Army Staff Sergeant Bellavia was awarded the medal for clearing an entire house by himself on November 10, 2004, as a squad leader in support of Operation Phantom Fury in Fallujah, Iraq. He killed four enemy fighters and wounded a fifth in close.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all of our past episodes and get some of that great Misfit Nation gear. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.